You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 97. My guest today is April, beautiful energy, lovely dreamer. You're going to love her dream. And as you'll hear when you hear us talking about a dream and interpreting a dream, April begins to let us know more and more about her life and who she is, so that by the end of the recording, we stop recording and I just said to her afterwards, look, we've stopped recording, April. You've given us so much information about your work and your art. She is an artist. Would you like to share your website address with all our listeners? You don't have to. This is meant to be confidential and private. But if you would like to, I'd love to do that for you. And she said, oh, yes, please do that. I live in quite an isolated area of France, and I just love the connection with people over the internet. And you can go to the internet, you can see her work. So I'll give you her website address so that you can enjoy not only listening to her dream and a dream interpretation and all the usual stuff that you get on a podcast show, but you can also go to her website, have a look at her art, and also connect with her there as well. So her website address is www.april, that's April with a Y, so it's A-P-R-Y-L, and then Z-A. So if you're American, you'd probably say Z-A. So it's April Z-A, all one word, aprilza.com. So that's where we're going to go shortly. I've got two other little things to say first. The one is the thing that I must always say, which is that if you enjoy the show, etc., etc., please look me up on my blog, which is www.janetheresa.com, Theresa without an H, or go to my website for free resources. And if you'd like to contact me separately for me to help you through my consultations or life coaching, www.dream.net.au. And the other thing that I just wanted to squeeze in before flicking us over to April is that because this is episode 97, that means that we're coming up very soon for episode 100. Now, we're going to celebrate this in some way, and we haven't completely decided on exactly how yet. But one thing that we have decided we would like to do, and it does need your help, please, is we'd like to incorporate some little messages from you, whatever you'd like to say, maybe a few sentences that you'd like to contribute. So what we're envisaging here is that you get yourself a microphone or whatever it takes, and maybe make a little MP3 or a little WAV file or whatever kind of method you've got of capturing a little message from you in sound, and send it to us, and we can incorporate it. We can weave it into our 100th show. So we're kind of envisaging, you know, if you do it, add your name in, either your full name or just your first name, so that it's got that personal content. So, you know, you might say, hello, Jane Theresa, this is Joe, and I'd really love to say da-da-da-da-da, whatever. I'm sure you've got the picture. That would be fantastic if you could help us to celebrate our 100th show when it comes in that way. But you're not really here, as they say, to listen to me. You're here to listen to April and to eavesdrop on a dream interpretation. So here we go. Welcome to the Dream Show, April. How are you this morning?
Thank you. I'm fine, thanks.
You had your cup of tea and you're all ready?
That's right. I'm ready.
So I have no idea, as usual, what dream anyone gives me. So what have you got for me?
Okay. Well, this was Wednesday night, two nights ago. And so as I dream, I know there are so many vivid pictures that go on in my mind. But usually I find as I turn around first thing in the morning, as I'm waking, the dream just boop. So I try to stay in the one position, and the last thing that I was dreaming is usually what I can hang on to.
Yes.
So, all right. So I'd been dreaming all sorts of things, and then it evolved into the clearest memory of this dream is that I was in our house, which wasn't my real house, but I knew it was my house. Okay. I was in this house in a forest overlooking a sea. The house stood on a cliff that was curved just like the one that's above my house. It's perpendicular, and then it does a gradual curve around. I don't live next to the sea, but there it was in the beach. I was up on this cliff in the house, but my real house is below this cliff. Mm. So I'm up on the cliff looking out the window, the kitchen window, and overlooking more trees and down below. And I noticed that the people who had set up a camp on the neighboring property had installed a new tent just below my house. It was an old-style canvas, military expedition type, that I remember from Girl Scout days and so on. You know, the big kind that are on the wooden platforms?
Ah, yes. So,
all right. Soon, the flap opened, and out stepped two young men. They were in good shape and ready for exploring. I was distracted from watching them because a cockatiel flew in the window. He was tiny and chirpy, with a gray body, white mask, and yellow head, and a bright red headdress. The feathers, kind of a mohawk standing on his head, of these lovely red feathers. He's made a cameo in my dreams before, but I think this is the first time he's landed on me.
Mm.
He perched on my shoulder, and I discussed with a girlfriend who was an amalgamation of several of my friends. I couldn't specifically identify who this person was that I was talking with. And we were discussing what I should do with him. He was obviously somebody's pet, like a real budgie who had showed up on my doorstep last May. and we never did find the owner of the little guy. He was adorable. Right. So anyway, we decided to take a walk down to the village to ask around. We took the seaside path. And that's another recurring theme. The sea, I'm seeing the sea from a first floor aerial perspective. I'm rarely down on it, but I'm looking out a window at it.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, right, as we're walking, the contented little bird shifted his position slowly from my shoulder down my arm and fell asleep. I knew he was contented because he had a sweet little smile on his face. This was very cute.
On his beak.
Yeah, that's right. I know, as I'm writing that, I'm thinking, wait, it's not really a face, but yeah,
it's a dream. Right. Yeah.
Exactly. Beautiful. Amazing dreams can do. I love that. So we walked from the seaside, turning inland in the direction of the tent and the village farther on. Before the tent, which was now back and off to the side of my shoulder, my right shoulder, there was a large oak tree, like one that I've seen in a dream I have, a crossroads. And my friend Martin, real life friend, was sitting there making something camp related, because we hold a children's camp at my house every summer, mm-hmm. and Martin's involved in that. And so he was working, he was creating something, and he said something witty. I wish I knew what. That. Did I not get his double meaning, or did I not want to? Aha. It was a warning about my being barefoot, and I assured him that I always went barefoot as a child. Then he maybe said something witty, but I don't recall. I chatted briefly with the men who'd been involved in the camp prep. Where was Tim, my husband? The last I saw him, he was in the house, and I don't recall him being particularly forceful. Oh, yes, he's very commanding. He usually has an opinion about things. And I noticed that he wasn't there. I think someone asked after him. Did I have an answer? I didn't know where he was. I was walking carefully now, because there were broken bits of porcelain on the ground at my feet. It was one of those 19th century painted toilets, or pieces of it, and I wanted to use them for my table. I take broken bits of porcelain, mm-hmm. and I've made lamps out of them before, and they look awesome.
Oh,
so
wow.
I wanted to do a great big table. So I was excited about these bits of porcelain, but I didn't want to cut my fingers as I was picking them up, and I was still occupied with the bird. Let's see. There was some concern of potential disappointment of Tim not letting me. Oh, yeah. And as I read over this again this morning, I thought, that's interesting. Concern about my husband not letting me go through with this. Broken bits of porcelain. Okay. There may be some connection there. So, but my main priority was to find the owner of the bird. By golly, it's changed into a very small baby. I was mildly surprised, but okay, whatever. The baby was the size of a portable, French, cell phone. I'm sorry.
That's right.
It's a cell phone. Okay. The baby's the size of a cell phone and now wrapped in a blanket. Goodness, the baby's lying on top of a cell phone. Oh, I'll bet this package belongs to one of the lycée, the high school students. I discovered this as I'd arrived at the newsagent, one of those clapboard hole-in-the-wall places with a cheerful, cheeky old man behind the counter. I think that I was distracted from talking to him by the discovery of the cell phone. I'd intended to go up to the village, and this looks like a village that I know in the countryside not far from here. Okay, but instead I turned back to parallel to the sea. I seemed to remember connecting with a chatty young girl on her cell phone, and then the dream shifted into the reality of finding someone's cell phone, and then I woke up.
Oh, wow. Beautifully told. Lovely story.
Thank you. It's funny when I write these things down, they really stick. So I lived that again. Thank you.
Pleasure. Oh, that's fabulous. I've got lots of questions to ask about the dream. And just plunging in at the middle there, you mentioned that you've got a recurring dream theme where when there's the sea, you're usually looking at it from a first floor perspective. And I just missed, was that exactly the same in this dream? Or did you mean that in this dream you really walked closer to the sea than you normally do?
Oh, thank you for asking. That had not occurred to me. I was, yes, actually on the sand. Previously, the sharpest that I ever stood and looked at the sea was early into the new year. I was in sort of a gallery, and that was another vivid, interesting dream gallery, and looking out old. It was like a European art gallery, and one whole long wall of it was old windows. And yes, I was looking out, seeing the sea. Prior to that, some months ago, I'd been standing at a port and up on that first floor perspective, that stone wall was up. Yeah.
This is the closest you've been to the sea. I love it. Yes. Now the sea was up. There's so much in your dream, and I'm going to explore, maybe not in the military tent kind of camp way, but I'm going to explore lots of different parts in your dream and jump in all over the place. But I love the fact that although a lot of the scenery did remind you of home, you know, the particular shape of the cliff and the forest, but the sea was like straight up. The sea was the first symbol that was quite different from waking life. And in fact, it's been important to you in prior dreams because you haven't actually got down to the sea. And although symbols are rarely have the same meaning for everybody, you know, our symbols are personal, the sea and water in general can often represent our emotions. There's something about the way that it flows and it moves that gives us that kind of emotional feel. And that's through your dream there as well. You know, you get quite close to the sea, quite close to the emotions. And there are also several emotional feels in your dream, like the smile on the cockatiel. You knew he was comfortable. You knew he was good. It had the kind of feel, and oh, the baby, you know. So there's that kind of emotional thing coming through it, which we'll come back to. And then also right in the middle of it there, the broken pieces of porcelain from the 19th century toilet, which I love because although as you just enlightened us and said that you often work with bits of broken porcelain for making lamps and artwork, you know, in the dream, I bet you've never worked with a broken toilet porcelain before, have you?
Seen them in antique shops, and they were just too beautiful to touch.
That's right. Okay. So this is
I'm sorry if I can just interrupt to say there's a completely recurring when I was starting to go professional with my art 2 years ago. So many of those recurring toilet dreams, and that was textbook.
Letting go and all of that. Yeah. So that's beautiful. So we know that this porcelain symbol is a real porcelain toilet is a real dream symbol that has relevance to your work. But it's as you hinted that you know there, a toilet and a dream tends to be about you know, depending on what's happening to the toilet, either what you're letting go or what you're not letting go, you know, letting go of all that crap or not, as the case may be. And it's a 19th century toilet. So it probably goes back, what I'm going to say, probably goes back, either goes back 19 years ago or goes back to when you were 19. Because when a dream brings up a number, it's one of the things about a dream that is usually quite precise in a logical way, whereas most of the dream is more kind of surreal. So just thinking back to when you were 19 or 19 years ago, and to put that in perspective, 19 years ago would be, can't work it out quickly, 20 years ago would be 1991. So this is, it'll be 1992. Right. So, and what I loved about what you said about the broken porcelain was that earlier in your dream, Martin warned you about walking barefoot. And yeah. After you get to the broken bits of porcelain, you know, you're then thinking, oh, I'm actually walking really carefully now because I just got to be careful what I tread, you know, for obvious dream reasons. But straight after that, you mentioned Tim. And you say, in essence, in the dream, there's that sense of, oh, I better be careful here because I, you know, Tim might not let me do. And you had a good chuckle about that, but Tim might not let me do this. So there's that feeling there of being careful about, like, not so much walking on toilet, but walking on toilet pieces, but walking on eggshells. Like, I've got to be really careful.
So completely, yes.
Yeah. So there may be, now a dream always reflects the last 24 to 48 hours. And although that dream may go right back into our past and examine stuff from our past, and though it may also go right into our future and examine things about our future, the dream comes up because we're processing the last 24 to 48 hours of our conscious and unconscious experiences. So whatever happened to you in the day or two before this dream, one thing that it did kind of resonate on, ping, was a feeling of, oh, I've got to be careful not to upset someone. It feels like I'm walking on eggshells here. I've got to be very careful. Whether that's actually Tim or your dream brought in that feeling of, oh, I've got to, you know, will I let myself do this? Will I be disappointed? Will I let myself down? Will I allow myself to do something? Or am I worried about what other people will think? Going back, as I say, to either 1992 or when you were 19, and I'm just not going to ask you just yet. I'm going to put a few more things together before asking you about that. So that's that kind of central part in the dream. But if we go back to the beginning of the dream, it's like, here we are, and it's, you're up quite high on the top of this cliff, and it's something very close to home because it's like your actual home, and you see the sea. You've got this, oh, look, I'm sort of can see an emotional context out there. And then all of a sudden you see this camp, you know, that the neighbors setting up a new tent, and that tent is, in the way that you told the story, reminds you of Girl Scout days and exploring stuff. So there'll be a connection there to, you know, in the day or two before the dream, something came up, was just kind of triggered on those days back then when you were involved in the Girl Scouts and exploring, and maybe life was exciting and adventurous. And I don't know what, I'll ask you later, but there's that sense in the dream as now suddenly I'm ready to explore something, and maybe it's the emotions, maybe it's the sea, I don't know, but I'm ready to go deeper and perhaps more emotional than I've ever been before. And I love the fact that you notice that the bodies of the two men that come out look all kind of fit and ready to go. And then the cockatiel flies in, and you also mention the word body again. You say, oh, he has a beautiful body. So it's kind of like everything's all really good and structured and fit and strong. And this is really great. Now, when you get an animal come into your dream, it often represents an instinct that you've got. Mm. And so animals will often come into our dreams when there's some kind of element of survival in a good way, you know, or suddenly challenged with change in some respect, and thinking, you know, we tend when faced with change to respond instinctively. And so my guess is that there was probably, there's, you know, changes around you, particularly in the last couple of days when you're looking at maybe making changes, and this bird comes up to represent an instinct that you tend to fall back on when you're looking at change. And then later on the dream, it's like, oh, another thing when I'm looking at change is that you've got to be very careful about how you tread because you might upset other people. And there's all of that. But if I asked you, what's the personality of a cockatiel with a red mohawk? What would you say?
He was a bit of an explorer too, wasn't he?
He was.
That just following immediately from those young men to the bird. Yeah, he was just really cheerful. And, okay, hi, here I am.
Oh, and all excited to go. Which shoulder did he land on? Can you remember?
My left.
Your left, because later on in the dream you looked over your right shoulder and saw the tent. So this is making great sense to me. So this bird, you have this energy when change comes up, or you have this basic instinct to go, right, okay, I'm going to explore. Like, I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to mentally, physically, spiritually, the whole thing. I'm going to explore. You're fit for it. We've got those beautiful bodies. I love the fact that it's a bird, because a bird can fly high and look down, which is what you're doing on the dream, looking down on the lie of the land. I love that it's cheerful, because I can sense that you are. I love that it's colorful. And I love that throughout the dream, it became more and more comfortable with you, and had the lovely smile on its face and kind of went to sleep. So there's that feeling that whatever change it is that you're considering, it does have that feeling of, exploring and feeling right, and maybe exploring your emotions. And in landing on your shoulder, I know that's what birds do in story tales, you know, they land on your shoulder. But also, I guess the shoulders is where we take responsibilities or bear burdens, you know, like the weight of the world on my shoulders, or I'll shoulder that responsibility, or I guess in the military girls scout kind of context, I'll just put that knapsack on the back of my shoulders.
Yep. Foldery, foldery.
Yeah. So you got that lovely feeling of almost taking responsibility in the sense of change, for taking responsibility for exploring in a kind of cheerful way, and kind of feeling strong and dedicated to what you're doing. And then going down, and you notice the oak tree. Did you say an oak tree has been in several of your dreams?
Yes.
If you just, again, sort of thought, well, what kind of energy does oak tree speak to you personally? What would you come up with?
Well, this, I really need to keep track of how often I dream this. I'm at a crossroads under a highway overpass, and I'm not sure how I end up there, but I'm always waiting for someone. And in my waking life, I try very hard to be on time and usually arrive in advance, being here in France, southern France, when everything's on a 15-minute delay, it's very confusing and kind of amusing. So there I am. And as I'm standing there wondering from which direction this person that I'm meeting, I'm not exactly sure who it is, as I'm standing there, I'm looking around, and off to one side there's a big long plain, and it's dry and golden and very open. And on the other side of the overpass there's like a French administration building. It's a couple hundred years old and very straight and proper, authoritative. Behind me, I'm always turning in this dream. So, okay, at this point, behind me, there's the on-off ramp, and over to the right in bit of a walking, just a short walking distance, there's that oak tree. And behind that, I know there's the village, and the tree is leafy and green and hundreds of years old, very sturdy, secure. And I really want to go there, but I'm waiting for this person, and I don't really want to go alone.
Yeah.
So that's okay.
That makes a lot of sense. So in that description there, in the other dream, the oak tree is hundreds of years old, whereas the French bureaucratic place is only a couple of hundred years old. So the oak tree is ancient, you know, and obviously much more ancient than the overpass. And then as you notice the tree beyond that, you see the green and the village. So there's that sense of the structured society and bureaucratic organization versus the natural ancient, living, beautiful oak tree grows from a tiny acorn kind of thing. I can't remember. It's a long time since I've been to France, but you obviously do, you know, you find oak trees in France, but do you have a particular relationship with oak trees themselves? Does it have a memory from childhood or anything?
Completely. I grew up in Pennsylvania, and it's so green. I do miss that. I do not miss those snows. And they have been this winter. We're in southern France, and area is very different. There are pines and it's a scrub oak. Uh-huh. And it's quite nice, but it's completely different. No, this oak in my dream, you'll find it across France, but not really, not here where I'm living.
Okay.
So yes, it does go back, to childhood memories.
So you've got that. So. That's really wonderful. Thank you for that. So you've got the oak tree representing something way back in your childhood, you know, hundreds of years into your childhood compared to everywhere you've been since. And it's that sense in that particular dream, because it does relate to this one, as you say, of getting to the crossroads and waiting and waiting and waiting beyond the French 15 minutes and still nothing happening. So, you know, when you have that dream, not this dream, but when you have that dream, it's that sense of, I'm really waiting to connect more with that particular aspect of my childhood in Pennsylvania, and or that sense of the more ancient form of the oak rather than the scrub oak of southern France. I want more of that. We've got the ancient toilet there too. More of that richness, or I guess maybe even spiritual feel, you know, going back to roots. So in part.
Yeah, I'm sorry if I can just interrupt you. You hit it right there. That I think that's, I'm pretty sure that it's a spiritual connection, because I see it, the oak, as much more sturdy and long lasting than that. There was, as you mentioned about the French, this oak is older than that old French building. It's ironic that as an American here, it's just this joke always. It is a joke when French people say, "Oh, you're American." So my history is just, compared to the long, long. But ironically, the oak is so much older.
Yes.
So I think this is a call to something eternal and something bigger than that.
Yes.
And as an artist. Definitely searching that.
That makes a lot of sense. And from your background in Pennsylvania, it's a little bit the same here in Australia. Like, you can point, the oldest building you can point to is maybe a couple of hundred years old. But, you know, we have that, our indigenous history, which is ancient. And so when you're closer to that, when it's not masked by looking at buildings that are hundreds of years old, you know more of that, I guess, spiritual connection. So there's that wanting of that. And so what is particularly lovely, April, in this dream is that in this dream, you actually walk past the oak tree. You get past it. So there's a sense, you know.
Close enough to touch.
Yeah, close enough to touch. And also just over your right shoulder. So again, it's got something to do with, got the bird landed on your left shoulder. It's almost like the right shoulder passes the oak tree. So there's a sense in the dream, you know, just running back from past that beginning a bit of, yes, I'm ready to touch something more emotional. I'm going through a lot of change and I'm really ready for some exploration here. And I'm tuned into my cockatiel energy and I'm really up for this. And it kind of reminds me of Girl Scout Day somehow too. And I'm on my way and I'm feeling really good. And hey, look, I've even passed the oak tree on my right. And what's on your right in your dream will often represent your left brain, which is your logical French kind of side. and so what's on the right in your dream will tend to represent your outer world, whereas what's on the left tends to represent your inner world. So it's like the inner world is a cockatiel energy, exploring, colourful, wonderful. And on the right, you see that oak tree now right out there. You pass by it. It's almost like you've done something to take that feeling of spiritual connection out into the outer world and therefore got past that sense of waiting for something to happen. You've actually taken it on the road. Yeah. But, that's the point at which you then pass Martin and you don't quite get what he says. You know, it's witty and that's good because that tells me you laughed in the dream. And quite often when you find something funny in a dream or you laugh, it's often because you've actually, your unconscious mind has shifted somewhat and something that used to be really serious about the world has shifted and changed, and you look back and it's like, oh, how could I have thought like that? That's really funny. You know, life is just really a drama, you know, laugh, ha, ha, ha. So there's something there about, I've passed that oak tree, I've got this spiritual stuff out into the world now, I'm on the road and I can see the funny side of having been stuck there for so long.
I don't need to worry about cutting my feet.
No.
I'm keeping my eyes open. Oh,
yeah. And
Jitter is amazing.
And I do love that, that you're totally, you know, with those bare feet, as you're saying there, you're totally in contact with the ground. It's all happening. But then there's the little butt that comes in. It's like the little, Tim opinions, broken porcelain toilet. I'd love to do that, but... Oh my goodness, you know, I don't, will he let me? And whether or not that's how Tim actually is in life, everybody in a dream represents something about yourself, you know, because the way that you look at Tim and the way that Martin looks at Tim or anyone else looks at Tim, you all have a different idea about or a different view of what Tim is like. And so you'll each dream of Tim to represent your own feelings about what he's like. So Tim in your dream represents more about your view than anything else. So Tim in your dream, as you have told it to us, represents something about, I've got to tread carefully here. Even though I thought I was in contact with the earth, I've reached this point where, it's like walking on eggshells, you know. So there's a sense there with not letting me is you, April, may there have an unconscious belief or experience from the past, probably either from 1992 or from when you were 19, that is kind of stepping in and go, oh, better be careful there. Better not do that.
I've said that before, that I've seen it in myself before, that if he doesn't let me, will I let me? I'm like,
brilliant. I'm going to ask you more about that later, but I'm just going to finish off the last little bit of the dream. I love then that you're looking for the owner of the bird. Now, so although up to now this bird has just happened to land on your shoulder and taken you on a wonderful journey, and you're really, you know, very much at one with this bird because this energy has taken you past the tree and even shown you this little sort of hiccup about the letting you or not letting yourself. And then you're thinking, well, who's the owner of this bird? And it's almost like we all want to say, listening in, well, it's you. It must be you. Are you going to take responsibility for this bird? Because it's the shoulder, it's responsibilities. This is your bird. And so paraphrasing that, this is your project. This is your broken toilet. You can do whatever you like. It's not a question of, will someone else let you, or will a part of you that's been hurt before let you do this? You can take ownership. You can do this. And although in the dream you're still looking for the owner, in your dream, you don't get that you're the owner, but you do get that you see this baby cell phone, and then you're thinking, oh, maybe this belongs to one of the girls at the DC, at the high school. So you're referencing yourself probably at high school, cell phone, communication, baby, something new. It's almost like you're beginning just to think, oh, maybe there's a new way that I can go from here. Maybe I can communicate with something that when I was at high school myself kind of made me get into that feeling of, oh, I better not do this or that or the other. And that's basically it. So over to you to fill us in on some details or ask some questions or respond, particularly about 1992 and when you were 19.
Oh, Jane Teresa, you were so good. It's completely true. And I just have to kick myself because I do keep running around in circles. And I know that I'm making progress, but oh, circular. Right. So, this is very exciting that I really am breaking through some serious hang-ups. When I was a girl, actually I was 14 and choosing my high school courses, I wanted to go the art program, but no, Zarfosses are not artists. You can't make a living doing that. So I went the school route and on to university, which that's where I was at 19. I did have a few of the basic art courses and I loved them, but that wasn't to be. But I was a pretty darn good knitter. And it also impressed my father because I was knitting during class, which didn't impress him, but I was making a good packet by knitting during class to sell the sweaters. At 19, that was definitely potential. Tim and I had already been dating since we were 16, and so things were pretty well cut out for me there. And 91, 92, we had just left. We were leaving Munich. So we lived in Munich for a couple of years, which I absolutely loved. Yes. And that was one of those times when I was also, I could sew pretty well too, and had just been asked by a really fine shop in Munich if I would design and make some of their classic Trachten, you know, the dirndls and the cute Bavarian outfits. I was invited to join a shop there, and he got an offer for to work at the company headquarters in California, and so we left before I could Drats. And then that permanent stay in California lasted 5 months, and we were back to Korea again. So yeah, that's been going around in circles that, every time I get established somewhere, we're off again. But at the same time, I've definitely, gained in all these places. I've learned so many things, and my skills have definitely shot up. But, okay. So where I am now is, I'm working myself out of motherhood and into something, my baby.
Your new baby.
Yeah. I very much would like to take responsibility for this baby. But it's terrifying. I don't know what I'm doing. And to get established, this is hard work. And okay, fit and trim. This is driving me crazy. The social networking it's a good thing. I'm getting connected and meeting great people, and I'm in front of my computer. I'm really gaining, and I'm looking forward. As spring is coming here, I am definitely motivated to get out and walk in the woods again. So
that makes so much sense. And when you're saying that, oh, you know, this is a chance for me to take responsibility for this new baby, you know, what I'm going to do next. And you say that your working ways of being established and looking forward to being established. And I'm thinking, well, that's what it's almost like a cliche with the oak tree. Oak tree is an established tree. You know, so there is that sense there also that, you know, compared to the overpass and the French bureaucracy in that previous dream and the oak tree that you can't get past, this is where, you know, as you've described it, there's a little bit of bureaucracy that dictates where you move from country to country every time you're about to be established. Yes. And this time there is the sense that unconsciously, because a lot of your dream is a lot of one's dream is unconsciously, at least your unconscious is with you. Yeah, we got past that. We've got the oak tree on the right. It is established in the outside world. So although you are, as you've just described, going through the social networking aspects of it, getting some parts of the picture filled in, unconsciously, you've got a lot more of it planned than you realize. Like, yep, we've got that oak tree established. Tick.
Yes. And another branch of that is that, you asked about my Pennsylvania childhood, and that my life was very much rooted and established. I could have gone into the family business. It was four generations and, very much established.
Yes, yes.
So as you mentioned, that definitely clicks. Zarfrost Furniture.
So, you know, because Zarfrost Furniture, so because you didn't go into that business and you wouldn't want to pick, I guess you wouldn't want to pick that up now, is there, do you think, because that oak tree is acknowledged in the dream as a good thing, is there somewhere that you can take your business, your art that somehow overlaps with furniture as well, that you take some of that family tradition, not necessarily in the original sense, but some of that feeling or that culture or that, you know, that heritage forward with you?
Yes. Well, I would love to see my paintings hanging on people's walls. That's definitely a home decorating issue. but also too, yeah, I have an enormous curiosity for my family history that, they left, the Rhineland faults, they left the Switzerland, Germany, France border during the wars of religion, 1740. Mm. And as I've lived here in Europe for the last, 22 years now, we've been most of our time here in Europe. And I don't know, they left Rotterdam, 1740, but where were they before that? And I would love to know where my family was in all this fascinating European history.
So there's that's a kind of another level of the explorer in the dream, exploring so much there. Yes, I really love that. because the dream, what did you say you normally make out of your broken porcelain bits?
Oh, I had covered some lamps. And I want to make an outdoor table, but that's a big project.
Well, lamps and tables are furniture.
just does run a family.
Yeah, just mentioned that in passing.
Oh, as I moved home, now we've been in this place for 9 years, which, wow, I can't believe it. But prior to that, we had been moving on average every 18 months. Mm-hmm. And my nurturing nesting thing, I would just love to make the house a home. Mm-hmm. So that just came naturally. And there's so much that needs to be done and we want to do with this place. But boy, money is way tight.
So it would be lovely in your art exploring to make money from it as well.
Oh, yes. Yes, that is the goal. No, that's the benefit. The goal is just I have to create.
Well, the only thing stopping you in your dream, because your dream is go, go, go. You know, this dream is a turnaround for your sea, because you're getting closer to the sea, closer to the emotional matters. This dream is a turnaround with the oak tree, the establishment, because in this dream, there's no waiting. You pass the oak tree. And the end of the dream is so positive because it's like you're getting in touch with a baby. So the only two things that kind of stand out from the dream that just need that bit of tweaking is one, taking ownership of the bird baby business, and the flip side of that, really the same thing, which is allowing yourself to do it, you know, not the will I disappoint Tim, will he not let me do it, is allowing yourself, just like as you said there, April, you know, when you were back at school when you were 14 and you really wanted to do art, but you weren't allowed to do that. So there's that feeling there. The unconscious is so amazingly powerful, and it holds on. It digs its nails in so deep to its earliest beliefs, you know. And you were really, in many ways, taught at 14 that the art, as you said, your father said, art is not money making. Even though you proved him wrong later with your knitting, but you know, art is not money making. You would have taken that on board as a belief there, an unconscious belief. I step out to do art, I'm not going to make money from it, because I learned that when I was 14. I not only learned it, but I took action on it. I didn't stand up for myself because you can't at 14. I went on and did the non-artistic. I was naughty when I went to university. I did a couple of art courses and did knitting under the desk. But I really believe that you can't make money from art because you're only going to disappoint people. Is Tim a bit like your dad? I'm going to disappoint Tim. I'm going to disappoint my dad. They're not going to, you know, let me. So it's like, yes, this is your life. This is your life. And, you know, so what I'm going to do with you now is give you a dream alchemy exercise, which I'll explain to you first. And it's designed to, with your permission, to change that unconscious belief that you're not allowed to make money from art. Into one that says you can if you want.
I'd like to hear that. Yes. And may I interrupt with a comment? You had said about persistent, how these dreams are repeating themselves. And when you said, it really struck with me that I feel discouraged in myself that I'm not persistent enough. That I think, I should just give up and get a, can I put quotes around this, real job? So many times I get discouraged, but no matter what's going on in my waking brain, my sleeping brain is just persisting and persisting and persisting. So I find that encouraging.
That's really lovely.
My brain's going to keep pushing me.
It is. I really love that. And you've got that. You've actually got, you said there, you get distracted at the last minute to get on with your art. And you've got in the dream, the cockatiel. I can't remember the word you used, but when you were describing the dream, and when you listen back, you'll hear it. You said something like, I was distracted by the cockatiel when it flew in. And then there was something else later in the dream that distracted you. It might have been the cell phone. But
yes,
yeah.
Yes, it's when I discovered that there was a phone under the bird.
Yeah, under the bird.
The baby laid a phone.
laid a phone, not an egg. A new beginning, a communication. So there's that sense you're quite right. And you never interrupt, you contribute. But you're quite right. There's that sense of your unconscious mind is in a positive sense is doing some wonderful stuff there, and it is distracting you from getting a so-called real job. It's distracting you with the call of your art, because it does sound to me like you've got a calling, and your question then is, can I make money from it, or do I do it anyway, or whatever. But it's a strong spiritual calling really that you've got there. And so yes, your unconscious mind and in your dreams, you're seeing your unconscious feelings about it. And the reason why this is important is that because the unconscious mind is so huge compared to your conscious mind, that we can go out and say, oh, I'm going to make a conscious decision to get a real job. Now, your unconscious mind being so big is more powerful than that. So if your unconscious mind thinks, oh no, you're going to be an artist, it's going to make sure that you don't actually get a real job. All sorts of things are going to come up
to distract you.
Yeah, that's good. And it is good news, and it's fantastic, because it's more often the case that we choose things consciously that we really would like to have happen, and our unconscious mind has a reason for not doing it. This used to protect us in some way, but is not really. So an example of that might be you do have an unconscious belief that says you probably can't make money from art. So it's possible that that unconscious belief is actually operating for you now. So that even when that shop in, it wasn't Belgium, you said, where was it you said about the lace? Where you were living before you went back to California.
Oh, right. Yeah. Munich, Bavaria.
Yeah, that's right, Bavaria. Yes. So even then, like, you're almost...
But I did learn to make lace, too. That was fun.
Yeah, so you learned to make it, but you didn't make money from it. It's almost like you got to that position where the shop was about to take the money in, well, you know what I mean, same thing, the art in, that you're going to make money for it. Yeah. And whoops, you went to California. Now, that looked to be Tim's decision or Tim's company decision, but you never know, do you? You never know. That unconscious mind is so powerful that it almost protects you and says, oh, I wouldn't put your lace making in that shop because you're not going to make any money. So our unconscious mind can sometimes work against us. So you've got in that dream mostly positive forces. Yes, go and do your art. And you've got this negative force that says, oh, might disappoint Tim/dad. You know, Tim/dad, I know we're taking quite a long time about this, but I want to explore one other area before doing your dream alchemy. You mentioned at one point that there were a group of women that came in your dream, and they were like an amalgamation of a number of women that you knew. Is there one thing?
One friend that was next to me.
Sorry,
one friend was standing next to me, but I knew that it was many people together.
And is there kind of like a personality or a thing in common that those people have?
They're supportive.
Supportive, okay, that's lovely. And that was in the first part of the dream when you, after the crocodile landed on your shoulder and before you then went down to the sea and went past the oak tree. So there's that kind of supportive energy. The female side is often creative and it's your inner world, and that's all supportive, which is exactly what you've just described. And then there's just this little bit that we want to change with not disappointing Tim/dad, and changing this unconscious belief that art doesn't make money. So what we do with this is at the point of dream alchemy, I do, like, number one is interpret the dream and get all sorts of good stuff out of it, which we've done, and then work to some aspect of it. So in your case, we want to change this belief. So we then do step two, which I call dream alchemy, which is doing an exercise using the symbols from your dreams to talk to your unconscious mind. You know, if we consciously say, oh, I'm going to go out and open a shop and a gallery, and I'm going to put paintings in it, I'm going to put furniture in it, I'm going to sell it. Your unconscious mind is, oh, I'm distracted by a cockatiel here. It's not listening, you know. And the way to engage your unconscious mind or change it is to talk to it in your personal symbolic language, which is what you see in your dreams.
Right. So we can do that through visualizations. We can do it through drawing. We can do it through writing, and we can do it through artwork. So being an artist, you know, I might set you a dream alchemy exercise involving art because it's right up your street, whether that's painting or whether that's furniture making. So what we really want to do is, you know, in the dream you had the broken porcelain toilet, which you had to tiptoe around. It's like, oh, I can't make a piece of art out of that. Now, I realize that you can't go out and get a 19th century porcelain toilet and break it because it's going to cost you a lot of money to go into an antique shop and buy that. But what I'm thinking is, yeah, well, either do that or get another porcelain, which you then think you work with imagining that it is a 19th century porcelain toilet, or you work in painting or drawing or some other medium. And the idea is to paint or actually make the lamp or a table or something else. So actually achieve what you didn't achieve in the dream, symbolically or otherwise. And while you're doing the artwork, to instead of be thinking, oh, tiptoe, tiptoe, I don't know if it would disappoint, really let me, to actually do the artwork with a full emotional energy of, this feels so good to do something that I am allowed to do. And not only will this not disappoint anyone, and not only will I not have to walk around on tiptoes, but it is going to delight everyone. And I'm going to dance with big, heavy feet around this beautiful thing. I'm going to have a party around it even, like the opposite to tiptoe. And I'm thinking that while you do this and you work with it, that if it doesn't offend your sense of art, that you somehow incorporate the sense of an oak tree into it, because that's your symbol for it being established.
Yes.
So
how does that fantastic base for the table?
It would, wouldn't it? And that moves you into the furniture realm then.
Beautiful.
How does that sound?
Inspirational.
Okay. So it's inspirational. It's fun, because the point of dream alchemy is also to be fun. But while you're doing it, what you're doing is reprogramming your unconscious belief, turning around those things that are saying to you, oh, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't do that, because there's no money in art. And so as a result of doing that, you don't have to make any big decisions or anything. You just concentrate on, and you focus, and you enjoy on making this dream alchemy piece of artwork. And you will gradually notice that different things occur to you, different opportunities come up, you flow with them in different ways, you respond in different ways, that open channels in ways that just shift you further along that road.
Lovely. Yes. Oh, I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm really excited too. thank you so much for sharing that beautiful dream. You talk about being inspired, but I think you will have inspired many of our listeners for that beautiful journey there.
Oh, thank you. I hope so. That's really, it's a calling of mine to help people find, you know, we're all created to be creators. And even if that's art, like my hands want to do, or finances, which I know, but somebody's created to do that. And yeah, it's really so important to find that. So yeah, that's my word for all of you out there. Go find what you're meant to do.
That's beautiful. Thank you, April. And if one of you out there is meant to do finances around art, get in contact with me, and I'll put you in contact with April. That's beautiful. Thank you, April.
Thank you, James Teresa.
So wasn't that a beautiful dream and a beautiful outcome? And I'm not really going to say much more, because I just loved April's message to everybody there at the end. It was just perfect. So I'll say goodbye, and I look forward to have a lovely week, please. I'm going to. And I look forward to receiving some of your MP3s and WAV file little messages to fit into our 100th show. And I look forward to talking to you next week for another episode of The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsight. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsight Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.